I don't know if you know that in all of the parables in the Gospel of Luke, he doesn't name anybody. We have the Good Samaritan and all the characters that are in that story. We just recently had the woman who lost her coins. We had the shepherd who lost his sheep. We had the prodigal son. We did not talk about the prodigal son, but there's the prodigal son. And all of them, we know who they were or what they did, but we don't know their name. Well, this morning, in this reading, we have a name. And the rich man does not get the name. The man on the side of the street does. We know that he is Lazarus. And I had to think about Lazarus and this rich man, because as the parable unfolds, he already has sores on his body. He is already lying there in such a state that the dogs now know he won't move if they lick his wounds. So Lazarus is near death at the beginning of this parable. And the rich man seems to be consuming anything he chooses and having feasts and people going in and out. And I wondered how often Lazarus was ignored at the gate. How often they went in and out and maybe even at first turned their head so they wouldn't see him. And especially if the sores were starting to smell, might have even put the cloth up to their nose as they turned their head to ignore him. But it might have gotten to the point where the man at the gate was like the statue you might put on your house, that you don't see it anymore. You simply, Lazarus, they'd walk by him and not even notice he was there. Or not even notice that the condition that Lazarus was in was getting worse day by day by day. They, inside of that gate, were having a good time. Now, we don't know exactly how Lazarus dies. We just simply know that he dies. And we are told in the scriptures that when he dies, angels carry him away to be with Abraham. So does that mean that his body goes up to heaven? We don't really know. We don't know if the body is simply left on the street and his spirit goes up to Abraham in heaven, so that something has to be done with the body. Because we do know the next verse is the rich man gets to be buried. We don't hear that Lazarus is buried. So Lazarus is either given the gift of bodily ascension into heaven, or his body is treated like a pauper who has no name and put in the pauper's graveyard. But our rich man is buried. And it's at this point that the story starts to get good, that something now has to happen. Because we have Abraham with his arm around Lazarus, and we have the rich man there in Hades looking up, wanting relief, wanting help. And I found it interesting, and I don't know if you find it interesting at all, but again, the rich man is asking for someone to serve him. He says, "Send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. Have Lazarus serve me up there in heaven, because I'm here in Hades in agony. I need help. Help me." And Abraham says no. So then he says, "Then, Father, I beg you to send him to my father's house." So again, Abraham, have him serve me. Have him go there and save my brothers from this fate. And Abraham once again says no. The key to Abraham's no lies in one word: child. Did you hear that when he first speaks to the rich man? That first request, "For I am in agony in these flames," but Abraham says, "Child, remember that during your lifetime you received good things." The child reminds the rich man that he is a child of Father Abraham. He is a child that grew up on Moses and the prophets, the law and the prophets. He grew up with the teachings of his people, teachings that teach them to take care of the widow, the orphan, the stranger. Teachings that he should have known as someone of wealth, someone who probably went to synagogue and temple and did all the things that a rich man would do in his tradition. Abraham's reminding him of the relationship child. So when he asks again for his brothers, this is the point that Abraham makes to him, that they have the law and the prophets. They have Moses and the prophets. They should be able to know what to do in this life because the word is there for them to learn it. And for the rich man, his response is, oh, no, this doesn't have any merit, but someone rising from the dead will. And Abraham says to him, if they won't listen to Moses and the prophets, they're not going to listen to someone who rises from the dead. And the parable ends there. Now we who hear this parable know that it's Jesus who's telling it. We know that it's Jesus who rises from the dead, who is telling the story about what people will or won't believe, and about the chasm between those who do believe and those who do not. And what we are to do, those of us who do believe. So as he's telling the story, where is he and who is his audience? Remember, as he was talking to the Pharisees. So again, he's telling the Pharisees, those who know the law, know Moses' word and the prophets. He's reminding them, remember who you are. Remember what you are to do. Remember who has value in the kingdom of God. The one who you ignore at the gates, God knows his name, and his name is Lazarus. A few years ago, well, maybe more than a few years ago, there was a movie called Trading Places. It was a movie with Dan Aykroyd and Eddie Murphy. The language in it isn't good for G-rated audiences, by the way. Just thought I'd give that caveat in case you wanted to go see it or pull it up and see it. But it was about wealth. It was about two rich men who make a dollar bet to ruin the life of one and lift up the life of another, but not intending to lift him up and keep him lifted up, but to send him back when they were done with him. When they were done with him. Well, at the end of the movie, the two rich men almost end up like the rich man in this parable, kind of in that place of Hades, where Dan Aykroyd and Eddie Murphy have become unified and redeemed. In fact, the one who's redeemed the most, I would say, is Dan Aykroyd. He had been the man in the suit with a good job and lost everything and ended up with a prostitute caring for him. And then with Eddie coming in beside him, and suddenly in that community, he realizes as he puts his feet in the shoes of someone who was poor and without anything, what it means to value human life. The rich man never got it. The two who wanted their place, the two dukes who wanted their place on Wall Street, not to lose their place even at the very end, never got it. Dan Aykroyd's character got it. That the person that we ignore at the gate has a name and has value in God's kingdom. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we here in this community need to be aware of who is outside our gates. Who are we ignoring? Whose names should we have? What relationships should we have with them? Just because they look different, act different, talk different, might be a little dirty, doesn't mean that they're not important to God. Are there worthy poor and unworthy poor? Or are there just poor who are worthy in the eyes of God? Whose circumstances might have gotten them so low, we might call them unworthy. But maybe, just maybe, if we learn their name, hear their story, find out what they need, and provide that in a way that offers Christ, that lifts them up so that they can be above the place where we found them, living a life that God called them to live, because God knows their name and knows they have value. Think about how important it is when Pastor Carolyn mispronounces your name or misspells your name, and how that hurts sometimes, that someone might not know your name. God knows it. And God wants us to know the names of those outside our gates. This morning, we're about ready to celebrate the great Thanksgiving with the whole world. And to think that some people might be barefoot in a dirt village with whatever they can call a chalice and their bread, and they are breaking it and celebrating the grace of our Lord. We don't know where it's being served and whose hands are clean or dirty who are receiving. But it is about the grace of God that connects us from one end to the next. So, if you see someone outside your gate, find their name. Let us pray. There is such a great gulf between us, me walking on the other side of the street, me riding by fast in my air-conditioned car, you standing on the street corner or sitting on the ground, reduced to depending upon the kindness of strangers, at the same time fearing the strangeness we could be and feeling the estrangement we have imposed. I could be you and you could be me if circumstances had been different. That could have been me sitting in the dirt, hands extended for mercy, trying to look non-threatening. And you could be the one turning your head, looking the other way. God, remind me that she could have been me, and we could easily become them if just one or two paychecks lose their way. Amen. The Great Thanksgiving